Psalm 100. There's only five verses in Psalm 100, but it's a wonderful psalm. One of my favorites. You were waiting for that, weren't you? No, I really do. I've loved. That's why I could play it on guitar and sing it, because we used to sing Psalm 100, Psalm 1 from the Scottish Psalter, several psalms, and Psalm 100 and Psalm 23 and Psalm 1 were some of our favorites, and we would sing that for our family devotional. So we'd sing a psalm daily. Psalm 100, it's called the song, it has an inscription, it's called a psalm of thanksgiving in the New King James Version. It says in the Old King James Version, it says a psalm of praise. In Hebrew, it's Mizmor, which is poem or psalm. Mizmor Latoda, psalm. So it's a psalm of thanksgiving, more literally, because Toda means thanks or thank you. And so that's the title. A psalm of thanksgiving, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is good. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Mr. Spurgeon says this of the psalm, the title anyway, a psalm of praise, or rather, of thanksgiving. This is the only psalm bearing this precise inscription. It is all ablaze with grateful adoration, and has, for this reason, been a great favorite with the people of God ever since it was written. Let us sing the old 100th is one of the everyday expressions of the Christian church, and will be so while men exist whose hearts are loyal to the great King. Nothing can be more sublime this side of heaven than the singing of this noble psalm by a vast congregation. Watts's paraphrase, beginning, quote, before Jehovah's awful throne, and the Scotch, all people that on earth do dwell, are both noble versions and it says event, that's a typo. It says, even Tare and Brady rise beyond themselves when they sing, with one consent let all the earth to God their cheerful voices raise. In this divine lyric we sing with gladness the creating power and goodness of the Lord, even as before with trembling we adore His holiness. So he mentions the old 100th. He mentions Isaac Watts, who has written over 1,000 hymns Isaac Watts had. And his paraphrase of Psalm 100 begins, before Jehovah's awful throne, where he says the Scotch, he's referring to the Scottish Psalter of 1650, all people that on earth do dwell. And Tare and Brady, they were poets who put together a metered psalms from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150 in 1696, I believe, was the year that that was published. And so Spurgeon was referring to that. And you also notice that in the second sentence, this is the only psalm bearing this precise inscription, or the third sentence, it is all ablaze with grateful adoration. I immediately thought of Brother Mike referring us to sing it again, this time with a little bit more bounce, because it is a cheerful psalm for singing. And we sang it the first time kind of like a dirge, like a death march. And it shouldn't be sung like that. This is a thankful psalm. I provided you with Robert Hawker's paragraph on the psalm, and also John MacArthur's not his inclusive commentary, but just what you might find in his Bible commentary, John MacArthur's Bible commentary there. So thankful thoughts from Psalm 100. Are there any questions before we start into these five verses? Any comments? All right. Psalm 100. I divided it into four, pretty much because the Scottish Psalter did. Divided it into like four, you know, verses for song. But in verses 1 and 2, most predominantly, I divided it up into grace, God, gates, and good. Grace. Grace. That's the reason why we sing. We've done nothing to merit God's favor, yet He has sent His Son in order to save us. And so for grace, we sing, like in the Scottish Psalter, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, Him serve with mirth, His praise forth tell, come ye before Him and rejoice. And in the New King James Version, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, or a joyful noise to the Lord. It can be translated either way. More literally, it would be shout. Serve the Lord with gladness in verse 2. Come before His presence with singing. A blessedness of grace. God's grace in Christ brings great joy and thanksgiving. John 15, verse 11, Jesus says, These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. We recognize this, that joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. Some say that in Galatians chapter 5, love is defined by all the other eight. Love is defined by joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And but joy is a hallmark of our Christian faith. And it's because God is gracious, because of His grace, He has saved us. And we did nothing to merit it, to merit it. He must have saved me before. He must have had plans to save you and me from before the foundation, to paraphrase Spurgeon, to before the foundations of the world, because had He waited until I was born, He never would have saved me, because He would have known what I was like. But He does know what we're like. This was His plan. God, in verse 3, in the Scottish Psalter, know that the Lord is God indeed. Without our aid, He did us make. We are His flock. He doth us feed, and for His sheep He doth us take. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is sovereign. God is sovereign. He is the sovereign King and the great shepherd. I wrote chief shepherd of our souls. Peter calls Him the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls, but the quotes that I have here from Hebrews, He's called the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says of Himself in John chapter 10 and verse 11. And then also the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13 verse 20 says, Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus is that great shepherd, and God is sovereign to bring about the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and the consummation of all things and the return of His Son. But He is also a sovereign God. We are submissive unto Him. We didn't make ourselves, and we can't do anything by ourselves. Everything that we possess is by God's grace and because He's sovereign. That when we give of our time, our resources, when we are good stewards, we're only giving. This is why the Lord loves a cheerful giver. In the Greek, it literally is could be translated hilarious. That's the Greek word. That's where we get the word English word hilarious, because we're hilarious givers. Isn't it hilarious that God says, why don't you give unto His work? And He gives you the resources to give unto His work. We haven't given anything that we haven't received. Even the breath in our nostrils is by God's grace. He gave it to us. So we don't even extend our lives one single day except by God's grace and sovereignty. Verse 4, gates. Scottish Psalter, Oh, enter then His gates with praise, approach with joy His courts unto. Praise, laud, and bless His name always, for it is seemly so to do. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. I'm reminded of Psalm 24 every time I see the word gate in the Psalms, that the ascension of Jesus Christ and the coronation that seems to take place in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O gates, and you know, the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, mighty to save. He is the King of Glory. And when we think of gates, we're thinking of entering into the city of God. We're thinking, we should be thinking of approaching the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's presence, therefore, is approached with all praise. And you'll notice this in Hebrews 4, verse 16, very familiar to you. Most of you, if not all of you, let us therefore come boldly, that's the New King James Version, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Some translations translate that word, or those two Greek words, confidently. Let us come confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, that's a good translation of the word too. And I provided it for you. It's a metaparousia. Metaparousia. I pronounce my Greek very terribly. It's not a good language for me. That's translated boldly, and it means according to all outspokenness. Outspoken, that you gather all the words that are within your being and you speak them out, and that's what it means to come boldly or confidently. Because get this, when you come into the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving, how could you be ashamed? You can't. You can't come doubting when you're full of praise. When our hearts are stirred with praise, there's no room for doubt, because perfect love casts out fear. And when we're praising by the Spirit of God, you can't but come and approach the presence of the Lord with boldness, with confidence, with assuredness, which is what this Greek word means. Isn't praise wonderful? And so we see kind of a progression. Not only do we submit to His sovereignty, not only do we thank Him because of His grace, we not only do we submit because of His sovereignty, but because He is the ascended, reigning Christ upon the throne, we get to come into His presence with joy, thanksgiving, and assurance that we have audience with Him, that we don't have to doubt. It is a done deal as He sits upon the throne. And then finally, verse 5, good. Good in the Scottish Psalter. For why? Well, the Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure. His truth at all times firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. In the New King James Version, it says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. God alone is good, and His mercy endures forever. Remember when the rich young ruler came chasing down the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, and also recorded in Mark. Good master, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. No one is good but God alone. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that He wasn't God. He was just pointing to, as you know, He was just pointing to the fact that He had said something in His ignorance, because He wasn't recognizing Jesus as God. But God, He is good. Jesus is good. God is good. There's no one good, no, not one, the Bible declares. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we can not only be thankful for God's grace, submit with all of our being to a sovereign King, approach Him confidently, assuredly, boldly, with praise, but we can have faith that He is good and His mercy endures forever.